Welcome to the Kosafa Show with Mark Gleason and Nick Say.
Welcome to our latest episode of the Kosafa Show as we chat to Banyana Banyana captain Rafiel Wejane in a look ahead to the CAF Women's Champions League Kosafa qualifier that will be staged in Malawi next month. We'll also hear from attendees at the recent Kosafa Regional General Secretary's workshop and get the views of veteran coach Clinton Larson ahead of the new league season in South Africa. The draw for the regional qualifiers of the CAF Women's Champions League was made this week, but did not include Mamelodi Sundowns, who earned an automatic spot at those continental finals as the holders. It means there'll be two teams from Southern Africa amongst the eight who compete, with the second club to be revealed in Blantyre from August 15 to 24. Group A in the Kosafa qualifiers contains 2022 winners Green Buffaloes, alongside South African club University of the Western Cape, Herentals Queens from Zimbabwe, and FC Ongos of Namibia. What looks a very tough assignment for all four sides. Group B contains three debutants in Gaborone United of Botswana, União Desportiva de la Chinga of Mozambique, and Malawi's Ascent Soccer Academy, who will hope to use home ground advantage to their benefit. Young Buffaloes from Eswatini are the fourth team in the pool as they make a third visit to the competition. To give us her thoughts on this tournament and more, we spoke to South African skipper Jane.
You know, the CAF Women's Champions League, although you haven't played in it yourself as you've been plying your trade in Italy, has been a great addition to the African women's football calendar, giving an outlet to players who perhaps wouldn't get a national team stage. Just your thoughts on the addition of the competition in the last 3 years?
Well, personally, I think the addition of the competition over the last 3 years has been a great one. You know, we've seen quite a number of teams improving locally in their local leagues and also in the African continent when they play the CAF Champions League, the COSAFA regions and their local regions. So I think such tournaments actually improve and pushes players to play their best and also to get better at their football game. So I think the investment and also the sponsorships and the coverage in terms of covering the game in women's football in Africa and in our local regions has been on a high, and it can still get better. But I think it's been taken care of, and we can even watch the games, watch the players from outside of the country, outside of the African continent, which is something positive.
Yeah, I mean, if you think back to yourself as a young player, although you got your national team honours very early, but as a young player at a club, it would have, I'm sure, been a great bonus to your development to have played against teams from Zambia and Zimbabwe and Mozambique, etc.
Yes, even though I never played in African or in COSAFA tournaments, I think they do so well in terms of the foundation for the players to be better. You know, you get the international experience at an early age, and by the time you get to senior level, it means that you have gained the experience that you need to excel at that level. So even though I never played it, I still think that it's a great idea, and all the players who are playing locally and also who are looking to grow in their football games, they need to work even harder to push themselves to make sure that they get this exposure and get this experience, because it will be fundamental going forward in their careers.
And if we look back over the last sort of 6, 7, even 8 years at the rise of Banyana Banyana, 2 World Cup appearances, African champions, of course, and then if we look at Zambia as well, also going into their second Olympics now coming up, World Cup, do you feel like these Kosafa tournaments, the club competition, but also the national team competitions, have really helped to raise the level of women's football in Southern Africa as a whole?
Yes, 100%. I think when you look at the likes of Zambia, you know, they started playing the Kosafa tournaments at the beginning stages. And with the experience that they got, you know, they kept the team together for a long time. They kept on playing at this tournament and even qualifying for the African tournament. So all this experience keeps on building up, and now you look at them, you watch at them playing at international tournaments against the likes of Germany, Japan, and playing in Olympics and also the World Cup. It shows that these tournaments are fundamental and very important for the players to participate in.
And if we just extend that a little bit further and talk about African women's football, you know, we've seen how Morocco as well have come on as a side at club and country level. Do you feel encouraged at the direction that women's football is moving in the continent? Or are we going, you know, if you look back at when you started with the national team, perhaps, things really seem to have improved all round?
Yes. I think when you look at the local associations, you look at the local teams and local national teams, I think they've improved quite immensely. You know, the likes of Morocco, you look at their development, how they've taken care of it from under 15s all the way to the senior level. They've got continuous preparation and continuous tournaments for the players to evolve and develop, which is something good for the development stages. And when you look at how the senior national team is doing now, having played in the World Cup, having qualified for the round of 16, it says something, you know. The right development, the right investments and support from the local associations plays an important role for the players and the teams.
And if we just talk a little bit about yourself, recently, obviously you came through, I think it was the Gauteng International Football Tournament, wasn't it? seems like a long time ago.
Yeah.
Just your entry into the game and you know, as a young player, how you found it then getting your national team honours. Did you find it daunting? Was it something that you were always confident about?
Well, my development started, I was playing quite a long time with boys. So I think until the age of 14, I was playing with boys, strictly with boys. And when I started playing with girls, I first started with the Gauteng Future Champions Tournament, where I won an experience of a lifetime, where I went to Manchester. I got a chance to train with Manchester City Ladies and also Everton. So when I was there training with those teams, that's when I saw that there's more to football than what I'm experiencing at home. It changed my life, you know. The experience that I got there, I told myself that when I come back to South Africa, I'm going to take my football serious, I'm going to invest a lot in it. And I'm grateful for the support that I received from home and everyone that has helped me to be a better player. You look at also playing in the Sasol League. Sasol has been playing a huge role in football development in our country, and we should be grateful for them, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be where we are as some of the players who played.
And just finally, looking ahead, what the future holds for you, what your future ambitions in the game still are?
Well, I do have ambitions of giving back to the game, you know, with all the experience that I get at overseas. I want to come back home and one day plow back. The game has done so well for me. It has given me so much. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for the game of football. So I want to teach, I want to coach, I want to in any way give back to the youngsters who want to see themselves making something out of football, whether it's football education or on the technical side. It's something that I'm looking forward to doing after my playing days.
CASAFA recently hosted a 5-day regional general secretaries workshop with the aim of providing new skills and knowledge to the 14 member associations from around the region. Deputy General Secretary John Msikulo from Zambia gives his thoughts on the workshop.
My name is John Msimuko. I'm the Deputy Secretary General for the Football Association of Zambia. The course we are attending at COSAFA has been very valuable, particularly the issue to do with the judicial bodies and how to manage the various challenges that come up at various levels, whether it's at club level, at regional level, at national level and beyond. As an FA, as an MA, Zambia has had its fair share of these challenges, and we are trying to resolve them by enacting appropriate statutes. But it's also good to learn from this course that our sister MAs are facing similar challenges, and it's been very helpful to learn how they've addressed these, and it's always going to benefit the Football Association of Zambia.
We also hear from South African Football Association CEO Lydia Monyepao.
My name is Lydia Monyepao. I'm the CEO at the South African Football Association. My key takeaway from this COSAFA regional workshop on governance and administration is, on leadership, the principles of leadership. As a fairly new CEO at the South African Football Association, I thought that was key for me, to learn how other general secretaries and other member associations, what leadership styles do they have? How do they deal with different situations, employees, and also, the executive as well. I think that's quite key in terms of, stakeholder engagements. For me, it's really key that we build relationships based on how we approach matters. And also, today we touched on strategic management. I think it's very key for me because, we focus on our association strategies, our plans, where do we want to go, where do we see ourselves in the next few years, our vision, our values, etc. It's quite key for the success of the association, whether it be, at national team level or participation, growing participation in football. It's very important elements for me, and as we say, if you fail to plan, you will you are planning to fail, basically. So it's key that all the member associations, take these kind of learnings from this workshop very seriously, because they were very important learnings. And an exchange of knowledge, it was very rich exchange of knowledge from different member associations.
Finally, we get the thoughts of Lesotho Football Association's Makhosi Mahapi.
My name is Makhosi Mahapi. I'm the Secretary General of the Lesotho Football Association. Yeah, enjoying the course? I actually do. It's always nice to come with colleagues. Always nice to be with the course facilitators and the staff from COSAFA in such occasions, just to refresh. One never gets too old for education, for new stuff, and like that. We are also here to network and make sure that we keep each other abreast of how we manage our respective organizations. And the key takeaways here, I think everything that has been presented here should be taken away. For me, I think having done a number of courses of this nature, I think everything is equally as important. I can't pick one from the other. I've learned to embrace everything that we've been presented and take it back home and apply it. There's no point being here, listening, but then you aren't able to take back. So I'm taking everything back.
Veteran South African coach Clinton Larson worked a miracle to get Magesi FC promoted to the top flight at the end of last season, but now the reality sets in as he needs to prepare his side for the new 2024-25 campaign.
Yeah, no, Mark, listen, it's a nice project, It's a small project. I mean, nobody, I think it came too soon for everybody. Nobody expected this to happen. So, yeah, it's a nice project to be involved in. Try and punch with the big boys, and then hopefully punch above our weight and create some surprises along the way. But we all saw Cape Town Spurs last season. It's not going to be easy.
And winning the NFD comparatively easy, does that give you a little bit more of an advantage?
No, I doubt it, Mark. It was a lot closer than the points showed. I know it showed 8 points clear, 2 games to spare, but it was a lot closer than that. I just think a few teams collapsed right at the end. But all the way up until game 26, game 27, it was very, very tight. So, yeah, we can't be fooled into thinking that, we've got a decent squad to compete in the PSL. We're trying to strengthen in all departments and just put a competitive team together. We know what we're up against. We basically have a coach that was written off, players that were written off by previous clubs, the only team without PSL experience in the 16 clubs. So we've got our backs to the wall. Yeah. But like I've said before, that's how I like it, Mark.
And I mean, you know this from the past, but do you think it's vital for teams to bolster themselves considerably when they move up from the NFD? Because, last season, Polokwane made hardly any purchases, to be fair, and had the same...
Well, they paid for 4 players from the NFD team, Kelly's. So they did make some purchases, cost them a few million. for the four players, Apollos and Kwe,
right,
and two others. Yeah, then they got given Mashikinya, they got Lucky Baloy, they got a few experienced players in the ranks, the Zimbabwean striker. You know,
so it is important, is what you say, it is important to bolster.
To substantially strengthen, it's important. I mean, if you looked, Mark, at just the difference three or four players made to Ernst's team when he took over.
Yeah.
I mean, they only brought in really Mapati right back, and then they brought in Maduna. They brought in, who was the other? Well, three or four players, and look how that transformed the team, you know? So yeah, four, five, six players, quality players, can really make a world of a difference at this level.
And how far are you in that exercise? Have you done all your purchasing, or is there going to be a few more before the window closes?
Yeah, I think we done now. You know, I've added two strikers, an experienced keeper to compete with Chibazeze. I've also strengthened the midfield with players that have played in the PSL before, as well as the wings. But two players who have played in the PSL before. So at fullback as well, left and right fullback, it was very, very important for me to bring in 8 to 10 players that can really hold things together when the chips are down, you know? Because my squad from last season, most of them have never played in the PSL. So it was very important for me to bring in some experience, albeit players who were discarded by their previous clubs, you know.
Right.
So, but I still feel they've got a lot to offer. So I'll try and get the best of them, squeeze a little bit more kilometers out of their legs, but at least that experience might help, yeah.
And then how's your prep been? You've obviously taken up the full 6 weeks, unlike Richards Bay.
Yeah, we started on the 24th of June, you know, so it's a full month, already. So yeah, we'll have a full 6 to 7 weeks, depending now whether there's another delay in the league kicking off, as we're reading in the media.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to probably have between 6 and 8 weeks of preparation, which is just quite enough, all things considered, yeah.
And everybody chomping at the bit.
Yeah, listen, everybody ready to go, you know. It's the first for everybody. I mean, in our entire club, Mark, it's only myself and my fitness coach, Pedro Picaro, who have applied our trade in the PSL previously. I'm talking management and technical team, you know. So this is new territory for almost everybody in the club. So, you know, they're going to learn as they go along. We've got to learn quickly as a club. You know, we like I said, last season, we really punched above our weight. We worked under the radar. It's a very small brand still making its name, so not many knew about us. And that, to a certain extent, helped. It allowed us to focus on our games, you know. But, yeah, this season, yeah, we're going to just have to step it up and try and be competitive. I keep making an example to these guys that this beast called the PSL, if you're not ready for it, it will chew you up and spit you out. So we really, really have got to give our all from top to bottom.
And I would presume then ambitions would be just basically to hang in there for the first season.
Well, that's mine, Mark. But if you ask others, they could be different. So you might get a top four from somebody, a top eight from somebody, a top eight and a trophy from someone else. But for me, it's all about survival.
That's it for another episode of the Cassava Show. We'll be back in a fortnight. Don't forget, you can listen to more of our podcasts on our YouTube channel, Spotify, and iTunes. And you can also get the latest news via our website at www.cassava.com and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.